move to the fifth case of the morning, Timothy Rogers versus Tyson Foods.
You know about chicken.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. The defendant has done an excellent job of conflating a number of issues in this case. It argues that there is a complex regulatory scheme in place, that its activities are constantly monitored by the Food Safety and Inspection Service, that its product labels are approved by the USDA, and that all of the activities of which plaintiffs complain are specifically authorized by the federal government. But before this court reaches those issues, or decides whether plaintiff's claim should be dismissed or whether it's preempted or whether it's even wise, the court must first make a determination as to whether the lower court possessed jurisdiction over these claims. The defendant urged jurisdiction on the lower court, and it bears the burden of proving that it exists in this case after all doubts are resolved in favor of remand. And here the defendant argues that a single basis for jurisdiction exists, namely that plaintiff's claims are completely preempted by the Poultry Products Inspection Act. Now, as this court knows, the doctrine of complete preemption operates in a very narrow area. To date, the U.S. Supreme Court has found only two statutes to contain such extraordinary preemptive force.
Well, the federal statute quite clearly seems to foreclose any state regulation with respect to premises, facilities, operations, marking, labeling, packaging, or ingredient requirements. Doesn't the statute occupy the field at least with respect to those aspects of poultry processing?
There's no doubt that it's comprehensive and it's thorough, but that simply, I think, means that Congress did a good job and put a lot of time into it. The preemption language here is much milder than you'll find in other statutes where this court and other courts have found complete preemption. It simply prohibits states from imposing marking, labeling, packaging, and ingredient requirements in addition to or different than those made under the Act. That's pretty mild language compared to other preemption language found in, for instance, the Federal Communications Act that this court considered in Bastion. So yes, it is thorough, but there is a lot of room for state regulation and concurrent jurisdiction by the states, and I think that's what separates it from some of these other cases.
See, what I don't understand is why we can't find complete preemption for purposes of federal jurisdiction, even if Congress did leave some aspects of poultry processing and sales to the state, so long as it's clear that Congress intended to preempt the areas that your complaint implicates.
I think you could do so, but the congressional intent must be very clear. I mean, this is nothing to be taken lightly because you're expanding federal jurisdiction, and these are courts of limited jurisdiction. There must be clear congressional intent. You have no private right of action under the Poultry Products Inspection Act, which, according to Voorhees, a decision by this court, is seemingly fatal to a claim of complete preemption. You have mild preemption language, and you have tons of activities left for regulation by the states and for concurrent jurisdiction by the states. So I don't think it's in any way analogous to the federal.
Isn't tons rather an overstatement?
Okay, that is possibly an overstatement. It's probably an overstatement. But there is extensive, I feel comfortable in saying that there's extensive room for state regulation under the Poultry Products Inspection Act.
Would it be to the extent that you would have to go to an alternate cooling, something alternative to cold water immersion?
Could states require such a process? States are prohibited from changing the labels on these products. The federal government has discussed certain technologies that can be used with poultry, such as air chilling and fresh water chilling. I think, in theory, a state could, under the Act, if it determined that a poultry producer was not minimizing water absorption in its birds could, in theory, require to do something else.
But that would have a substantial impact on interstate commerce, to say the least.
It might have a substantial impact on interstate commerce, but and that's a different argument.
Well, it's somewhat different, except that the purpose of preemption or having a uniform law nationally is so that it doesn't disrupt. I don't have it in front of me, but what it says something to that
I understand.
I think what your main focus is and your complaint is that this process allows these carcasses to sponge up too much water and gives them excess weight that people pay for. And you challenge that under the Illinois Fraud Act.
That's correct.
And would impose that, interestingly, you didn't impose it on Indiana, where I'm from, but a whole lot of states based on the Illinois Fraud Act.
What we're alleging is that Tyson failed to abide by a federal regulation requiring it to minimize water absorption in poultry. Failed to disclose this information in its marketing materials to consumers, thereby deceiving them as to what they were actually receiving.
So that gets
all
around
in violation of the fraud.
That gets around labeling the process.
That gets around labeling. What we want is for Tyson to minimize its water absorption, and there are studies out there showing that it can be done quite effectively and quite easily. We want them to disgorge any profits they've made from failing to minimize water absorption in poultry. And lastly, to the extent that they make statements outside the four corners of their product label, we want those statements to be truthful and to contain any necessary information that's needed for people to make an informed purchasing decision, even if that's beyond what the federal government requires in a product label.
Mr. Hoffman, how many counties across this nation do you believe this case could have been brought in? Other than Madison County?
A number of counties. I have no exact number, but I mean lots of counties. I practice in Madison County. I office there, and that's where I like to file cases in my own backyard.
In the process here, if I believe it's been extended to January 9th of 2003, this regulation that's going to, I guess, come up with some either acceptable or recommended or mandated level
Correct.
Of water that is absorbed through this cold water immersion process.
That's correct.
Now, if that had been in effect, would you acknowledge that that is a preemption, an obvious preemption by the federal government or not?
Are you asking whether my claims are preempted or whether there is complete preemption?
This is one of the problems, of course, mm-hmm. because you're trying to get around this cold water immersion, but everything seems to focus on that. And if it's fraudulent to use it, at least in the way you think Tyson is using it, and then the federal government comes up and says that the level that they are, I guess, absorbing water is okay.
I think that's an argument for complete for ordinary preemption.
I see.
Or
so
conflict
you
preemption.
You still
but
think
not
that's a question of fact in the state? You can challenge that in the state and say it's a violation of the federal standard.
Well, I mean, they would have an argument that it is preempted. I would argue.
Maybe
have to or would argue that it's not.
They'd have to go to state court to defend it. Then.
Yes, they would. But again, this is mainly. This is very similar to, I think, Mario's Butcher Shop, the case out of the Northern District of Illinois, where you had a violation of a federal regulation which gave rise to potential liability under the Consumer Fraud Act. You can have a violation of a federal regulation and use that as an impetus for a consumer fraud claim.
Right. That's correct. I have no problem with that.
And I don't think I really don't see where we're seeking anything that's inconsistent with anything that the federal government wants. I mean, the federal government requires Tyson to minimize water absorption in poultry. We intend to produce evidence that they did not do that. And not only did they not do
minimize that. Minimize is a pretty vague term, but you think you can come up with, a jury can come up with what minimized amounts are and whether or not they are violating the federal standard is. Huh?
I do believe that, Your Honor. think I'm cutting into my
response
time. I would ask
that less than a minute, so you want to
reserve the balance of my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. As we've already established, plaintiff initiated this multi-state class action in state court and attempted to assert only state law causes of action. The acts complained of, however, are Tyson's cold water immersion chilling process used to assure a healthful product and its failure to disclose that as a result of that cold water immersion process, water is inevitably retained in the bird. This court asked whether a state could prohibit Tyson from using the cold water chilling process and force it to use air chilling. There's a simple answer to that, which is the statute says requirements within the scope of this chapter with respect to premises, facilities, and operations of any official establishment which are in addition to or different than those made under this chapter may not be imposed by any state or territory. The answer is no. A state could not require Tyson to use air chilling.
You know, the statute does seem to leave room for the state to impose their own storage or handling requirements so long as the Secretary of Agriculture does not deem such requirements unduly interfere with the free flow of poultry products in commerce. Does the ability to regulate handling foreclose finding of complete preemption here?
No, it does not. The statute actually intends and quite clearly explicitly states that it intends state and federal cooperation in the implementation and application of the federal law and the federal regulations. And with respect to certain matters, it even allows states to impose their own laws as long as those laws are at least as restrictive as the federal law. Those matters such as handling, however, are not at issue in the claims raised here. As with any complete preemption analysis, there has to be sort of a dual focus. You have to look at what the claims are that are alleged, and then you have to look at what area of law is that Congress has carved out and said the states cannot enter into and see if those connect. Plaintiffs don't complain about our handling. They don't complain about trucking movement in interstate commerce of the birds. They complain that we are using cold water immersion and that we're not telling people about it. Those are branding, and those are adulteration issues. Those are issues that the statute has said states may not make any laws dealing with. They may not impose any regulations in addition to or different than federal law.
Suppose the regulation that's supposed to come out next January says there's a certain level of water content or something, whatever it's supposed to come up with after all this testing. And then the plaintiffs or whoever decide that they're not meeting that standard. Now, is part of what states can do come in and enforce a federal reg that isn't being observed?
Well, I guess the question is,
Would that be a proper state enforcement of a federal standard?
Under this statute, I don't believe it would. The enforcement mechanism is pretty clear under the Poultry Products Inspection Act. An action can be brought in the district courts of the United States in the name of the United States. And if there is violation of the act, it can result in civil penalties and criminal imprisonment for people violating. So there's certainly incentive that has been created by Congress to assure compliance with the statute. But the statute itself requires that compliance be sought in the district courts of the United States in the name of the United States.
What could a state do to help enforce with this concurrent jurisdiction for enforcement or whatever I think you said was okay?
Well, the state, if the poultry product is, in this case, containing water in excess of the amount that is allowed under the federal regulation, the state has the authority to remove from commerce in the state adulterated poultry along with the federal government. So the state could go out to Jewel and yank all of Tyson's chicken off the shelf. I mean, they couldn't go into court in their own name. They would have to go through the federal regulatory agency to sue in court. But they certainly have enforcement authority under the statute to prevent the any adulterated product from being distributed in Illinois. But it is the federal law that determines whether or not the product is adulterated. Illinois would not have the authority which is what plaintiffs are trying to do here, to impose its own legal standard on what constitutes adulteration, and then go into the grocery stores and take Tyson's product off the shelves for failing to meet that legal standard. There's been some characterization of the preemption language here as milder than that in other cases. The complete preemption doctrine arises from a couple of Supreme Court opinions dealing with the Labor Management Relations Act and ERISA. And I would suggest that the preemption language of those statutes is actually itself much milder, if that term has any particular meaning in this area, than the language we're dealing with here. Essentially, what the Supreme Court said in those cases is the statutes express a congressional intent to occupy a field. The civil remedies provisions of those statutes show that Congress intended the federal courts to handle these matters. So therefore, there is complete preemption. It was not a case of an explicit statement by Congress that states are to make no laws in addition to or different than those contained under ERISA or the Labor Management Relations Act. In fact, interestingly, ERISA has a separate preemption provision, Section 514, which this court has recognized provides only ordinary defensive preemption and not complete preemption, that says that states that any provision of ERISA supersedes state law. That language clearly allows the state to have lots of laws dealing with benefits plans. They can have gap-filling laws, they can have laws on anything other than specifically what Congress has enacted the legislation on. Here, with regard to the two areas we're talking about, packaging, labeling, or marking, and facilities and operations, states are not allowed to enact any laws at all. The preemption language here is much more explicit. It is much closer to the language of Bastion than it is to the cases where the Supreme Court has found complete preemption. It says that this is an area in which we need national uniformity, in which we are not going to allow the states to impose their own legal standards. And if you look at this case, while the wisdom of that legislation really isn't for this court to decide, I think it's clear. We have here a case where you are dealing with a very technical and very difficult area. The product needs to be healthful, it needs to be chilled. The process does result in some water being added. The question is, how much water is inevitably added as a result of a process needed to assure a healthful product? The Food Safety and Inspection Service has now spent a couple of 100,000 hours of expert time investigating just that question. It is not a question that should be answered under the very vague and intentionally broad provisions of the Illinois Consumer Fraud Act by a single judge in Madison County, Illinois. That court should not be imposing a standard on Tyson and its 83 plants in throughout the United States on how much water it should be leaving in its poultry. We should leave this where Congress intended it, with the Food Safety and Inspection Service. Because this area of law has been completely preempted, any claims, no matter how phrased, arise under the laws of the United States. They support arising under jurisdiction. Removal was proper. And then there's the related question of whether dismissal was proper, which is sort of addressed at the end of each party's briefs. It pretty much flows from the removal. Since there is no private right of action under the federal law, and since only federal law applies here, there is really no claim that can be raised by these parties about complaining about either the process of cold water immersion or the amount or the failure to disclose the inevitable byproduct of that, which is water retention.
Is there anything in this complaint that could be used to challenge an activity that's not covered by preemption?
The complaint is pretty vague and I think intentionally vague, but if you look at the conduct that's challenged and you really step back and see what it is they're challenging what they call an antiquated immersion system, which is the process of chilling the birds, and they're challenging an omissions claim, the failure to disclose the water retention, which is a labeling issue. Now they say, well, it's fine, we won't touch your labels, but anytime you say we're selling chicken, you have to say, but that chicken contains 8% water. That the Illinois Consumer Fraud Act can kind of backdoor an omissions claim and force you in any advertising you have, no matter whether it's related to the issue of water retention or not, to make a disclosure of the amount of water retained. That it cannot do. That's simply a backdoor attack on labeling. But I don't think, other than labeling and cold water immersion, there's really any conduct challenged in the complaint. And those two things are both completely preempted. On the dismissal, I would simply say that the case was properly dismissed, that there is no need for a private right of action to support complete preemption. In fact, many cases have found complete preemption and then summarily dismissed the complaint because the plaintiff had no remedy under federal law, which is all that happened here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Contrary to counsel's suggestion, this case is not like Bastion. In Bastion, the relevant statute stated that no state shall have any authority to impose any rate or entry regulation. This is much closer to Voorhees versus Neighbor Aero Club. You have no private right of action under the statute. You have extensive room for state regulation, and you have mild preemption language. And I think it's closer to Voorhees and that there is no clear congressional intent to completely displace all state law and thoroughly federalize this area. And if there's a doubt, all doubts should be resolved in favor of remand. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The case was taken under advisement.